You're listening to the Fairways People podcast, where we share inspiring stories, meaningful conversations, and the voices behind our charity. Each episode offers a closer look at the people and passion that drive us. Hosted by Fairways Managing Director, Gareth Webb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Fairways People podcast. I'm Gareth Webb, the Managing Director of Fairways. And so for our podcast today, we have our one and only Anne Segal, our Chair of Trustees. Welcome, Anne.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming along. Really excited about speaking to you today. Great to have you on board. So, Anne, you've been a trustee probably for around 10 years nearly now?
Yeah, with the sister charity before the charity now.
Yes. Yeah, yes. Wow. Okay. So you've been with us for a long time. And more recently, you're sort of the chair of trustees, probably for around 2 years, is that?
Yeah, just coming up 2 years, Gareth.
Brilliant. Okay. So you've been instrumental actually and key in supporting and shaping the future of the charity. And I'm sure you've seen how Fairways has grown as well as improve and adapted through many challenging times over the years, especially since COVID, the cost of living, and probably all the other political government changes that we face as a charity. But trustees are a key, really important for the charity to ensure that we operate legally and we've got a robust governance system in place, but also supporting and enabling its leaders to deliver the aims of the mission and the vision of the charity. I know, Anne, you've got an extensive and successful career in HR. And you've got a vast amount of experience and built up loads of different knowledge in various sectors and big corporate businesses. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Good, good.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, well, like I said, welcome. The first question I always sort of ask our guests is sort of, let's start from the beginning. So can you talk a little bit to me about your childhood and where you grew up?
Okay, be happy to do that. So I'm a proper Cockney and I was born at the London Hospital in Whitechapel, so within the sound of the Bow Bells. I grew up in Ilford, which is sort of on the borders of Essex and East London. And my parents had a newsagent's. So from a very early age, as soon as I could see over the counter, life as a child was about being part of the community. It was about serving the customers that came in. It was about very much being a part of the local landscape. My parents ran the news agency. It was 6 days a week. And my brother and I were very much involved in the business. So when we weren't at school, we were helping out in the shop. And I think that apart from being enormous fun, imagine being, you know, the kid that grew up in a sweet shop, but apart from that being real fun, I think it taught both my brother and I from a very early age how important it was to interact with other people, and that whole thing about being social and being part of a community certainly stemmed from my parents and from that upbringing.
Brilliant. Oh, wow. Okay. That's interesting. I never knew that about the news agents. So what's, did you have that sort of formal sort of go to college, university? What did you do when you left school? How did that work?
So I will tell you what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a Blue Peter presenter. not sure that Blue Peter's even on anymore, but I wanted to be a Blue Peter presenter. And so I bombarded the BBC until very recently. I had all the letters and I wrote them 57 letters until they gave in. They didn't make me a Blue Peter presenter, but I did go on a production course. So I was a production assistant. And then in the BBC, I was there for 14 years and I worked on a lot of programs. But then I went into recruitment and into HR and into management training. So that's how that part of my career began.
Well, that's interesting. So, first off, did you ever get a Blue Peter badge?
Do you know, I never got a Blue Peter badge, Gareth.
Sorry about that.
Very upsetting, but no, that's how it was. I did meet the presenters, though, in the end,
and
I did have a small time where I worked on the programme. So there we are.
So how long were you at the BBC for?
So I was at the BBC for 14 years, and I ended up there in their consultancy. So they had an internal management consultancy concerned with the governance and the future of the BBC. And it was at that time that I decided with some colleagues that it was time to spread out and to take the next step in my career.
Oh, wow. Okay. And I know sort of HR, that's like your professional sort of role, or it always has been throughout. What made you sort of fall into HR then? What drew you to that, do you think?
Well, I think I'd make the link, Gareth, back to my childhood. So, you know, growing up in the shop and working with customers and, you know, listening to their problems and helping them and working with them, I think that was a theme that went all the way through. And going into HR and into training, into mentoring and into coaching was all about always wanting to see both my own development, you know, be absolutely frank about that. But what I was and have always been and will be passionate about is seeing other people develop and seeing other people treated fairly in order to get that development. And so that, I think, led me naturally into HR, to want to see people treated fairly, to see people treated well, to see people treated equally, and then at the same time wanting to see people develop has always been there. And I think that core really did start, you know, from my origins in childhood.
Brilliant. And so from the BBC, what was your sort of next steps from there?
So the next step was with a group of like-minded people. So we all had the same vision. We had the same values. And we created a network where we were independent trainers, facilitators, HR consultants. So sometimes we would work with clients individually, and sometimes on really big projects and to look bigger, we would come together. So there were six of us. And for roughly about 15 years, I worked independently, but worked alongside them, and we would work on each other's projects. And that really was in consultancy, working across a whole range of companies and charities, from Oxfam to Marks and Spencers to insurance companies and to local government. So a really widespread of different organisations that we work with.
Interesting, yeah. So you've lots of experience, lots of different businesses. I guess for me, what interesting, how did, could you, like you say, nearly 10 years at Fairways, how did Fairways come about? What drew you to Fairways?
So what was really interesting was I had, by the time I met Fairways, I had taken a role, I'd given up my own business, and I'd taken a role as an HR director for a multinational engineering company. And we had offices in Southampton. And so I was visiting regularly the offices in Southampton and got to hear from the people there about Fairways, became very interested. And a colleague who was already a trustee in Fairways suggested that I come along. I met Mac, met yourself, met the other trustees, and was very, very happy to be invited to become a trustee on the charity as it was then.
Oh, and you've never looked back?
And I've never looked back, Gareth. Absolutely not.
So what's we've had the privilege for you to speak at our staff conference the last 2 years, and you've done an exceptional job in explaining to staff, really, in a real simple a way, and for them to understand what the role of trustees do. But do you mind just talking me through, you know, what do the trustees do for Fairways Charity?
So in a nutshell, the trustees are legally responsible for making sure that you guys are running the charity properly, in a legal way, in an ethical way, that things are being done, how do you describe it, things are being done properly and things are being done well. And so all of the trustees collectively are about making sure that we challenge you in a friendly way, in a respectful way, and in a professional way, to make sure that everything that happens within Fairways is done well, is done properly, and is compliant with the law.
Yeah. And like, in your role as a chair of trustee, what's that differ? How do you rally the troops, I guess, and make that happen? What's your role in that?
I think that's like juggling kittens, or is it frogs in a bag? I'm not sure. We've just had a meeting today, and it felt a bit like both of those. But really, my role as the chair is to bring everyone together, to make sure that the conversations that we're having are the right conversations, that they're actually about the topics of the day that are important to the individuals that we, you know, collectively look after, that you look after, that are important to the staff and that are important to the governance of the organisation. So it's about making sure that everyone has their say, that everyone is included around that board table to make sure that we make the right decisions and that we are all involved in having the right conversations at the right time.
Absolutely. And I'll witness that firsthand, definitely, and, you know, do a great job of that. So thank you, Anne. One question I do ask my guests that come on is, you know, what's your why? What drives you to get out of bed in the morning? What makes you do what you do for Fairways?
I think that at the end of the day, I want to see other people doing well. And if I can help facilitate that, then that's my why. I am absolutely passionate about everybody having a chance in life to be able to be their best selves. And what gets me out of bed at the end of the day, or at the beginning of the day, if we're getting out of bed, is really that passion to make sure that everybody has got a fair chance to make the very best of themselves. And that doesn't matter whether we're talking about our children, our young people, you know, the individuals that are in your care, whether it's about the employees, whether it's about the trustees, but it's making sure from me that I'm in a position where I can help everyone to give their best. That's what's really important to me. That's my why.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. And we've got a 5-year strategy, and the trustee supporters of that. We've got our 5-year breakthrough objective. Sorry. So can you just talk to me about, I guess, what's you as a chair of trustee? What do you hope to achieve for sort of the charity with your fellow trustees? What would you? How would you see the next few years?
I know what I would like to see in the next few years, and I know that the trustees think and feel exactly the same way. We want to see the charity do really well. We want you to be in a financial position where you are able to look after more and more young people and children, individuals that need your help. So if we do our governance bit right and we get the finances right with the excellent finance director for Fairways and his team, if we can get that right, then you are able to look after more and more people. So growth is important to me and to us, and making sure that you are able to have the time, the space and the resources that you need to achieve the objectives that you've set for yourself. That's what's really important to me and the trustees.
Brilliant. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. And we talk a lot about in Fairways about our values and playing your part. You know, we've got our key values such as professional, accepting, transparent, and reflective. What would you say your core values were? So if you was like a stick of rock, you used to get the seaside, I was to cut you in half. What would be the values that run through you, you know, that you live and breathe?
So I think for me, if you cut me in half, I'm pretty short, so that would be a bad thing to do. But if you wanted to do that, Gareth, I think what would be there would be compassion. I really care about people. I think I said earlier in this talk that, you know, everyone having a fair chance, no matter, you know, where they come from and what's happened to them is so important. So that compassion, that being kind is really important. Listening to other people. I don't think people listen enough in the world. People nod a lot, but they're only really waiting for their opportunity to have a say. So that real empathy is important. Emotional intelligence is in there, and at all times I think respecting other people and being professional. So I think, you know, you can have disagreement anywhere and everywhere. But I think if you can respect the other person and try and put yourself in their shoes and understand where they come from, I think that's part of me as well. And that for me is an incredibly important value.
100%. Yeah. And I've witnessed that so much of you, and you're so kind, you're compassionate, and you've got a lot of time for people and empathy, and you certainly listen. And you know, some people find that difficult, don't they? But I've seen that firsthand. So absolutely, key value of yours.
Thank you.
So, last question. On my podcast, I like to finish off with a bit of a generic question. So here it goes. You know, there's a lot of complexities and chaos in everyday life, you know, as we know, that impacts on our own mental health and well-being. So my question to you is, what do you do to support or help your own well-being, or what do you recommend for people?
So I used to not be very good at my own well-being, and quite often I would go at it 100 miles an hour and then fall over. So then I'd have to pick myself up and get well again, and then it used to start all over again. And what I've learnt is that you've got to look after yourself first, because if you don't look after you, you can't look after other people. And so the things that I do to look after me is try and be self-aware enough to know when I'm overextending, and then I will pull back, and I might go swimming, and I might go for a walk, or I might do a gym class. But something where I can get my energy back is really important. I've just taken up meditation. So I'm not very good at that yet. I'm still making, you know, shopping lists in my head when I should be meditating, but that helps too. And then being with the people that I really love. So making time for them, and really being present and being with them, not being with them and then thinking about half a dozen other things that I need to do. So that's really my recipe, is that being self-aware, doing some things for me that will make sure that I, you know, replenish my energy, but then also making sure that I make enough time for the people that I love. I lost my brother very, very early on in life. And, you know, if I look back and have regrets, it's that I just didn't have the time, because he was working and I was working, to spend more time together. So that bit about looking after yourself by spending time with people that mean a lot to you and that you really love is for me absolutely key.
Thank you for sharing that. I really appreciate that. And so I think the two real key messages there is, be kind to yourself and make time for your loved ones around you.
Absolutely.
So thanks, Anne. Well, thanks for your time. I really appreciate that. It's been really insightful, really interesting. I loved the bit about the news agency when you was young. But yeah, thanks. Thank you again for coming today. I know time's precious, but thank you very much, Anne.
It's been an honour. Thank you for asking me.
Okay, thank you. And thank you all for listening. Goodbye.